Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words which are the basis for our consideration this morning come from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. However, we'll begin reading with verse 3, so we can start from the beginning of that sentence. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In one of the liturgical services found in our hymnary, after the communicants have received an individual absolution at the altar, they receive this blessing taken from this text. Now may he who has begun the good work in you perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word perform here probably isn't quite as strong as the original language Greek suggests. It means to perfect, to bring to perfection or to completion. And St. Paul then specifically means to say this: the good work our Lord has begun in you, he will be bringing to perfection until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when everything is brought to completion. Now, what is this good work that our Lord has begun in these Christians that Paul is writing to? It is his work, God's work, that he has forgiven their sins, that he has brought them to trust in his promise. St. Paul writes, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. It's the work that Paul refers to when he writes, as we might paraphrase it, by grace are you saved through faith, and not a faith of your own working. This faith is the gift of God, not of your own working, so you don't have anything to brag about. This is God's work. Specifically, it's the work of the Holy Spirit among us. It's the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. He brings us to holiness before God. It's not a holiness of our own good works, but a holiness of Christ's good work, that is, of Christ's own perfect righteousness. The Holy Spirit has created in our hearts that faith which trusts this forgiveness and his promise. He sustains us in that faith. He picks us up when we stumble and when we fall. He preserves us from the assaults of the evil one, day in and day out, every hour and every minute of every day. And he finally brings us to that end of our faith when he gathers all of the believers in that resurrection to that life where there is no need for faith, but all is fully real and present before the throne of grace. God, the Holy Spirit, not only performs this work, not only begins this work, but he brings it to full perfection and certainty in that day when we stand before him in glory. All of this he does through God's revelation of himself in Christ Jesus and through the word of his gospel and his holy sacraments. This is the food. This is the medicine of immortality by which he perfects us in Christ for that great day. Now, this is a glorious thing to think about. But that isn't the only thing that's important in this little verse. Paul began this thought by expressing his thankfulness to God for this fellowship in the gospel. But it's not just a pious wish, not just something that we might possibly get to partake of. He expresses it as an absolute certainty that God would do this, being confident, he says, of this very thing. This is an I know. This is not I hope. This week, we celebrate the Lutheran Reformation. And of course, one of the key issues of the Reformation was the restoration of the Bible's teaching of justification through faith. Now, related to justification through faith was a matter which was of particularly paramount importance for Martin Luther. And that was whether or not I could be certain of my salvation. In spite of my continued weakness and my sin in this life, in spite of my doubts and my failures, can I be certain of my salvation? Now, as a matter of fact, this was really the question that drove Martin Luther from his study of law at the University of Erfurt to the Augustinian monastery to be a lowly monk. It was his search for a merciful God, whose salvation was a certainty and not a murky mystery hidden in the depths of my own soul. The Reformation answered that question with a definite and a resounding, a very loud yes. There is certainty for your salvation. The confidence, the certainty is God's own promise. The confidence and the certainty is not in anything that I do, but it is alone in the promise of the true, the Almighty God, who does not lie. He promises, "You shall be with me in paradise." That again is not a pious hope, but it is a certainty. It's a promise which must come to pass. And he who promises is faithful. It is in the fact that your salvation does not depend on your good intentions and honest effort. God does not ask you to make a decision for him or to do any special work for extra credit. The confidence the Apostle Paul expresses is that the very God who has begun this work in you will continue to perform it and bring it to perfection. He will complete it. He will fulfill it perfectly. This is what the grace of God accomplishes, and it perfects in you. He does not offer to aim you in the right direction and then give you some hints as to how you might possibly work your way out of this maze. He begins it. He sustains it. He perfects it. He preserves it. He finishes it. If you look within yourself for the strength to do this, you are not looking to Christ, who promises you that you can be certain of your salvation. But St. Paul points you to the very promise of Christ himself, "I am the way, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And now may he who has begun the good work in you perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. To him alone be the glory. Amen. We turn to page 167, and we join in Luther's morning prayer. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me.